5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Warning, you're about to experience an unpleasant truth.
America must choose to build a future or obsess about the past. To be a nation of fear, division, and of darkness.
Use your aggressive feeling.
Embrace anger, chaos, and truth, but in the shadow of lies.
Let the hate flow through you.
Together we can choose a different path.
Join me, and together we can rule the galaxy.
Our nation of fear, division, and of darkness.
Break me down with all of your hatred, and your journey towards the dark side will be complete.
Embrace anger. Thrive on chaos. But in the shadow of lies.
So this is how liberty dies. With thunderous applause.
Across the fruited plain and from sea to shining sea. 3 hours of bold truth, excellence, and optimism for America. The Wendy Bell Radio Program.
It is the time of the week we get to talk to our national security expert, John Guandolo. And as a former federal agent, as a Marine, as a fighter, a warrior, and a father, John, I want to ask you, did you see what happened last night as there was a Gold Star father up in the balcony at the State of the Union who yelled down to Joe Biden, Abby Gate? And then talked about his son, and he was basically taken out. He was arrested and charged. John, did you see?
I saw it, and I certainly understand the sentiments, and I support them 100%. And I think and I applaud it. By the way, I know people are like, "Well, that's not appropriate during a State of the Union," and I'm like, you know, if people keep wanting business as usual to fix the crisis. We are decisively engaged in a war with people who want to destroy America. And I still see many people who consider themselves constitutional patriots thinking this war, which we're losing badly, will be won by just the normal course of business. I think at this point to call you foolish is to be very kind to you. I think you've now become, you know, those people have become dangerous. And I think this father was physically, verbally there, you know, visually in front of all of us, sharing the frustration. Mr. Biden and his generals, General McKenzie and the others, are responsible for the death of those men because they decided we are going to back terrorists of Taliban and Al-Qaeda, literally. And we're going to entrust our security to them. Those people, this is treason. It's conspiracy to commit murder. It is criminal negligence at the lightest end of this. It's unbelievable. So I did see it, and I definitely, my heart goes out to that father.
John Brennan last night with MSNBC's Nicole Wallace, John, and you and I have not talked about this at all, but said that when Trump accepts the GOP nomination ostensibly this summer, that the Biden administration and the powers that be will withhold certain classified information which would normally be given to the top presidential contender. They are afraid, John.
Well, they're not. They're afraid because, as you and I talk about, and as you have said many times, this is all about power. This is all about control of the state and power. That's this whole war. And until, until Americans take what they already know, that these things at the border, that the draining of our national oil reserves, that the undermining of our federal economy, by the federal government, the programs that are being put inside the military to destabilize the military and weaken it. All of these things, deviant sexual things being taught to elementary school children, all of this is being done intentionally. All this is being done by people like Mr. Biden, Kamala Harris, John Brennan, Barack Obama, John Podesta, and the people holding the door are Republicans. And when I speak, especially recently in the last couple of weeks in front of sizable crowds, and I ask them a series of questions, do you know this is going on? Yes. Do you believe it's intentional? Almost 100% say yes. And I ask a series of about four or five questions. I'm like, well, if you know it's going on and you know it's intentional and you know they want the destruction of America, why don't you as a citizen start acting like it? I believe they will do whatever it takes to keep Mr. Trump. And I don't care what people think about Mr. Trump or don't think about Mr. Trump. The fact that they fear him so much, I believe they will do anything and everything to keep him from taking the reins. But even if he does step into the Oval Office, they will ensure that he has no power in this or very limited power, because I will remind people the bureaucracy, the administrative and bureaucratic people that run the federal government in the Agriculture Department, Health and Human Services, State Department, FBI, CIA, DHS, the National Security Council, who, by the way, I'll just remind everyone, who's senior intelligence director is a Hamas guy. So these people are allowing terrorists into positions of government knowingly. They're destroying the very fabric of our culture. They're undermining the security agencies. They're putting people in charge of these organizations, these components of government, who are communists and jihadis. And Americans think that business as usual is going to fix it. So I don't know how many times you need to be hit upside the head with a 2x4, Americans, to actually realize this. You can't just blog about it and have a podcast about it. You have to identify these people in your local community and put the boot to their ass and get them out and wrestle back control of your county government first, of your county institutions, the schools, the churches, the businesses. We are decisively engaged in a war, and I would argue 90%+ of Americans, even if they get that we're in a war, think that somehow tweeting about it is going to fix it.
What was the point in your life after the Marines when you were in the FBI and you worked undercover for a lot of your career? At what point did you realize what you thought you were fighting for and what was really going on were two different things?
I would say one of the first big kind of schwacks in the face for me was after I put together the very first training in the government, and it was briefed by the FBI's assistant director for counterterrorism to the national security staffs in the White House. And everyone was like, yay, this was great. And then about 2 months, 3 months later, the heat just started coming down on me. And I didn't realize it until a couple colleagues of mine that were more senior than me and working at headquarters said, you know, you pissed a lot of people off by running that training because you were just some agent at a field office and you first embarrassed them. And when I realized that these people were more worried about their ego and that about their reputation, just how other people held them in esteem, more than they were worried about terrorists in suits in FBI headquarters. That was probably the moment. I mean, I fought a lot of battles from 2003 to 2006, early through a lot of them. But when I realized that all these people that are aiding and abetting terrorists, most of them, it's out of self-centeredness, pride, wanting to get the next promotion. And when I started seeing that in general officers in the military, senior DOD officials and others, I knew that the chances of us winning the war at the federal level were declining. And by, I would say, 2010 or 11, I realized we needed to start taking it to the states, which we did. And we kept going down the chain, meeting with governors and attorney generals, met a lot of good people, none of them willing to do what needed to be done to deal with these issues with the communists and jihadis inside the system. And we took it all the way down to sheriffs and pastors, and we realized, sadly, there weren't enough sheriffs and pastors in America that were going to risk everything to defend their community. When about 6 years ago, 6.5 years ago, I refitted the training and took it to the citizens, it started catching on like wildfire. And I just spoke to a group yesterday, a pretty sizable group, with congressional candidates and candidates for state legislature and local community positions and people that already were on county councils, city councils, and they were horrified by what I was sharing with them. And this 2024, I'm like, I don't know where y'all have been, but so now the question is, what are you going to do? And then, of course, I shared with them kind of moving forward and the training to organize the community. But that, to me, that is probably the biggest killer, is people that are not willing to risk their reputations, their finances, their homes, their lives for what's right. And that's defending this civilization. Western civilization, the idea that we love God and love neighbor, the idea that every human on earth is born free with rights that come from God. And that means every life is precious.
Amen.
And worth defending.
Amen, John. Hang tight. More with John Guandolo right after this. Let's get back out to our national security expert, John Guandolo. John, you know, you had suggested that we talk a little bit about this Congress funding radical Islam. I don't think people really realize. We got a little taste of that this week when we found out that there was $1 million of this minibus bill that was going to be given to Philadelphia to create some space for LGBT youth to get into bondage and sex toys and fetishes and crap like that. I'm done. Full stop. Freaking done. Get the hell out.
Yeah, I think the idea of people paying taxes needs to end. And for those people who attack me and have continued to come after me, both in and out of the government, yes, I am advocating Americans stop paying taxes altogether. It's so outrageous. It's so outrageous. Not only funding, federal funding using taxpayer money of sexually deviant behavior, demonic, just demonic stuff that our money, my money, your money, is going to. But they're funding terrorists. You know, for the last over 12 years, going back 2006-07 time frame, grant money has been given. U.S. government taxpayer money has been given to organizations, Hamas, Muslim Brotherhood organizations, the United States, like the Muslim Public Affairs Council, the Islamic Society of North America, the Muslim American Society, all kinds of groups, and then other monies and perks were given through other channels, sometimes through a cutout for them. That's outrageous. I mean, under the Trump administration, when John Kelly was DHS Secretary, he literally shut off over $500,000, just one of them, $500,000 to the Hamas Muslim Brotherhood Organization, Muslim Public Affairs Council. So it's unbelievable. Now we've got, I mean, I'm going to try and hold my tongue here because the words that want to come out of my mouth aren't fit for radio.
Yes.
But Chuck Schumer, who at a one side of his mouth is trying to condemn Hamas, but using the authority of his office is funding them. The Muslim American Society is overtly, the government in a trial over 10 years ago called them the overt arm of the Muslim Brotherhood in the United States. We have Al-Qaeda financier Abdurrahman al-Hammoudi in the Eastern District of Virginia said on the witness stand when he was forced to testify that everyone knows Muslim American Society is Muslim Brotherhood. And I know that because I was in the courtroom when he said it, but it was also written about immediately afterwards because it was a big deal. Why? Because the leaders of MAS are given open arms by the Clintons and the Obamas and the Bidens and the Democrats, and quite frankly, by quite a number of Republicans as well. We have letters from well over 100, mostly Democrats, some Republican, members of the House of Representatives, praising Hamas, doing business as the Council on American Islamic Relations. And they use the authority of their office to help them, including Chuck Schumer giving money in this bill, or in this attachment to the bill, the rider, to give money to the Muslim American Society. And if people don't know what I'm talking about, most people will remember not long ago, a year ago, they made national news because children from the Muslim American Society in Philadelphia was doing little song and dance about chopping people's heads off and killing Jews. And people are like, oh. And of course, nobody investigated that. The Philly police didn't. The Pennsylvania governor's office didn't. The FBI didn't. They're like, oh. And of course, MAS was like, oh, we don't know how that got out there. And that was the end of it. So as long as citizens don't care, you're going to get this stuff crammed down your throat until they're standing at your door putting a sword right through you. So the sooner you pull your head out of your ass and start dealing with it in your own community, that's when the real war to push back, to actually take back this country, is going to begin. But it's got to begin in your local neighborhood. I mean, how much of a piece of crap of a human being is Chuck Schumer? I mean, coming from the background he comes from, to out of one side of his mouth to cry Hamas, oh, they're so bad. And I mean, he's just giving them money under the table. It doesn't shock me. It's just sometimes when it's shoved right in our face. I mean, I hope your listeners understand. They are just flipping you the bird a quarter inch from your face, knowing you're not going to do a damn thing. And until you do something, they're going to keep doing that. And it's getting so dangerous. I mean, all the intel I have is they are ramping up right now in March to begin violent operations in the United States. So every inch you're giving them now is you're just throwing your life out the window, literally.
John Guandolo, as always, we appreciate your service. We appreciate your honesty and your forward-looking so we can get ready ourselves. He is our national security expert, and he's a great guy. So I'm glad to have him on the team. Folks, do not go anywhere when we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program. A lawsuit in Pennsylvania involving Donald Trump, involving 2020, gets decided on his behalf. What? The only lawsuit allowed to proceed. I've got the details next on the Wendy Bell Radio program. Now, I'm going to encourage you, before we get into this final segment, you've got to stick until the end of this segment at the least. Bad jokes after the break. Those are always awful and totally lovely. We have a very special good news today. And I think it's one of those that just, it's one of those necessary, I needed to feel good kind of good newses. And I think you're going to get that in just a minute. I found this headline on the Gateway Pundit. And I remember, because we live in the land before time, because we are friends with Pennsylvania State Senator Doug Mastriano, an Army colonel, served his country for 30 years, ran for governor. But what he did that I believe was more important than anything in that political realm was he brought together a bunch of people in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, the day before Thanksgiving 2020. I'll never forget it. And he invited people much the way Senator Ron Johnson does from Wisconsin, where he brings people who say they have been vaccine injured together into a room to share their stories and to say, I see you and I hear you and we want to know what happened. And so that is what Doug Mastriano did. And all these people came. And from people who saw poll issues, voting machine issues, abnormalities, to people who had legit, quantifiable data, demonstrable data that had not been heard. And of course, it was this sort of a vibe. Let's come together. Let's talk about what happened, particularly in swing states. When you got involved and you said, I'm not going to sit on the sidelines, and then you see crap go on. And then you were provided this opportunity to speak. This was the beginning of, I believe, the groundswell of January 6th, the going to the ellipse. January 6th to me wasn't about what happened at the Capitol. January 6th was the movement of more than a million people from all over America. People flew from Hawaii and Alaska to go to Washington, D.C. in the middle of winter to listen to Donald Trump because they knew what had gone on was wrong and they wanted to be a part of history, hoping that it would be adjudicated, that it would be remedied, that the people who are supposed to represent us and hear our voices would not vote to certify something that we knew was wrong and we were silenced. Well, this is very interesting. And this is the headline from this Gateway Pundit article. Massive win for Trump in Pennsylvania. Voting machine warehouse official withdraws lawsuit against Trump and two local GOP poll watchers, Gregory Stenstrom and Leah Hoops, regarding election fraud claims in the 2020 presidential election. Here's the nuts and bolts of it. This Greg Stenstrom and Leah Hoops, alongside former President Donald Trump, emerged victorious in a high-profile defamation case in Pennsylvania. The lawsuit, known as Savage versus Trump et al., alleged malicious and defamatory statements against the plaintiff, James Savage, following the 2020 presidential election. This clown got his feelings hurt. You called me names. I'm going to sue you. Okay, let's go. The case revolved around accusations made by Gregory Stenstrom and Leah Hoops, two GOP poll watchers, claiming that Savage, the supervisor and chief custodian of the Delaware County Voting Machine Warehouse, manipulated vote tabulation in favor of Joe Biden. Now, this kind of evidence has never been heard before. See, the judges didn't allow any of these cases to proceed. If you weren't aware of the lawfare well before the knives came out with four indictments and 91 criminal charges against Donald Trump, this was going on long ago when all of us who said, wait a minute, think about the audit that happened in Arizona. They spent millions of dollars to go through all of that. Nope, we will not hear these cases. Justice is not just. We don't have it. It ain't here anymore. So in 2021, James Savage, a resident of Chester, Pennsylvania, filed a lawsuit against Trump, Stenstrom, Hoops, and others for allegedly making, quote, deliberate, malicious, and defamatory statements and insinuations about him following the 2020 presidential election. He claims that these allegations have led to the, quote, assassinated, him to be assassinated at a national level, reputation-wise, resulting in health problems and threats of physical harm. I'm sure because he's so important that people were giving him death threats. It's the final card to play, by the way. While defendant Hoop's intent was clearly to disparage the plaintiff, this is the judge. Listen to this. She was factually accurate that the plaintiff would not have been trained or experienced in uploading votes for influencing tabulation purposes improperly or otherwise, the lawsuit claims, rather. Accordingly, the defendant Hoops and every defendant herein at the Gettysburg public meeting on November 25th, 2020, was aware that any suggestion that the plaintiff could upload votes for influencing tabulation purposes was impossible. Look, this is the reality, though. The judge ruled, hey, this guy was improperly trained. He didn't have the skills to do what he did, right? Listen to this. The lawsuit points to numerous public statements made by the defendants in the wake of the election that were allegedly designed to sow discord and confusion about the results, including a November 25th hearing before Pennsylvania Senate Republicans in Gettysburg and a press conference in Arlington, Virginia. Now, Savage is going to say, hey, they said stuff about me. It hurt my reputation. I've been injured. I deserve to be compensated. But the judge in this case said not even close. He said, of course, that the people that were named as the defendants in this case, the GOP poll watchers, presented truth, said true things, and that in America today, the truth prevails, and dismissed the case. In fact, not dismiss the case. This guy, Savage, decided to cut and run. He saw the walls closing in on him. See, when you go forward, when you do that, North is still North. When you say the truth and you say, I saw that, and this is what I did, and this is the evidence I have, and there's a judge who's not corrupt, who allows the system to play out the way it should, ultimately the bad actors have a decision to make. Either cut and run, withdraw your suit because you realize you're going to lose. You're going to lose because you got a little too greedy, right? That's called victory. That's what John was talking about. That's what we talk about on this program. I'm not going to do a Jenna Ellis and accept a plea deal. I'm not going to cooperate with madness. There is no meeting in the middle with people who are nuts, who are deranged and want to destroy this country. They get taken head on. They must. And when the pushback happens and the judge isn't corrupt and the evidence can be heard, those who are in the wrong do have a decision. Run away with your tail between the legs or be called out as the fraud and liars that you are. Victory, one victory at a time. You've got to start somewhere. Let's do it. I need some good. This is a very sweet, sweet story with my boyfriend, Steve Hartman from CBS News. I know. He's on the road, and this is a dear story. It's going to take in NCAA basketball, kind of a badass, hard-nosed coach, and a young man who walked in his path as a sick child, and the relationship and the love that formed between them. Enjoy.
You can't hear him over the crowd, and that may be a good thing. As Auburn University coach Bruce Pearl sneers and snarls his way through yet another basketball game.
You see him on the court being tough and stuff to all the players, but there's a whole totally different side of Bruce outside of basketball, which is a nice, loving, and caring person.
Auburn freshman Sam Cunningham's unique perspective comes from his greatest struggle. When he was 12, Sam was diagnosed with leukemia. And not long after, someone asked Coach Pearl to record a video for him.
You're gonna beat this, son. Cancer? Pick the wrong hombre. Pick the wrong dude to mess with, okay?
It was just real funny to me. Cancer picked the wrong hombre. It picked the wrong dude to mess with. That quote is what I kept with me when I got in my darkest days in the hospital and stuff.
Through all his complications.
You're gonna beat this, son.
Through his relapse.
Pick the wrong hombre.
Through the days that felt like they would be his last.
Pick the wrong dude to mess with.
Sam kept watching that video over and over.
Okay?
Eventually, Coach Pearl delivered the same lines in person.
Pick the wrong dude.
And they became friends. And then one day, Bruce gave him another, even more inspiring message.
Tell you what. You're going to get better. You're going to come to Auburn, and you're going to be my assistant. And he takes me at my word.
He believed it.
He did. He is.
Today, he is the team manager and so happy to be here. In fact, Sam says Coach Pearl's encouragement may have saved his life.
That truly healed me. I didn't think I would really get to this point from all the complications I had, so that was pretty amazing. I'm just a miracle to be here right now.
This month, college coaches across the country will be praying for a national championship. But here at Auburn, this coach will be asking for something far more consequential.
In my prayers, it's, God, don't let this thing relapse. Take me. Let Sam live.
Basketball seasons come and go. But great coaching lasts forever. Steve Hartman, on the road in Auburn, Alabama.
You deserve that. You need to hear that. Because that is what's going on out there. That might not make the news every single day. That might not be your headline every single day. It should, because it goes on every day. And it's special. Quick timeout. When we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio Program. Okay, it's my favorite part of the week. Bad Joke Friday. I hope they're bad. Next. Well, we're so appreciative of all the new listeners, the new followers. A very special thank you to our friends at Newsmax who take this program the last 2 hours on N2, on television. We're so grateful for all of our radio stations who continue to push out our message, and to all of you on the stream and out there paying attention. Thank you so very much. Okay, you deserve this. You deserve it. Go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, I just flew in from New York, and boy, are my arms tired. I'm joking, of course. Anywho, welcome to the Comedy Club. Won't you give it up to Wendy and Brock for Bad Joke Friday?
All righty. Always we begin with the great Dr. Richard Rafferty at the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh. Again, if you guys don't know the rules, you send in the jokes. Unfortunately, we do not proofread them. We do not proofread them because I think it adds to the allure of it being bad. So here we go. There was a farmer who grew watermelons, and he was doing pretty well, but he was disturbed by some local kids who would sneak into his watermelon patch at night and eat them. After some careful thought, he came up with a clever idea that he thought would scare the kids away for sure. He made up a sign and he posted it in the field. The next night, the kids showed up and they saw the sign, which read, "Warning! One of these watermelons in this field has been injected with cyanide." The kids ran off. They made up their own sign and posted it next to the farmer's sign. And when the farmer returned, he surveyed the field. He noticed that no watermelons were missing, but the sign next to his read, "Now there are two." How do you not like that? That's funny. Turn on your microphone. Okay. My God, that was cute.
I would like to go to Holland someday. Wouldn't you?
That was bad. Okay, why can't you trust an atom? Because they make up everything.
Oh gosh. What does brown sound like, a bell?
What's
brown and sounds like a bell?
Thank you. I don't know.
Dung. I don't get it.
Okay, I was just making sure. Does anybody? Because we have time for you to interject on this stream. What is brown and sounds like a bell? Dung. Okay. How about this? Why do you call someone? What do you call someone with no body but who has a nose? Right. Don't feel bad if you don't know. Nobody knows.
Oh, gosh.
Nobody knows, yeah.
What do you call a bird that stubs its toe?
What?
An owl?
Oh, gosh. Did you hear about the guy who got hit in the head with a soda pop? I mean, it was okay. It was a soft drink.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Carl.
Carl who?
Carl, get you there faster than a bike.
What?
That could be the dumbest joke.
A pirate walked into a bar and the bartender said, "Hey, haven't seen you in a while. What happened? You look terrible." "What do you mean?" said the pirate. "I feel fine." Bartender says, "Well, what about the wooden leg? You didn't have that before." Pirate said, "Well, we were in a battle and I got hit with a cannonball. Fine now, though." Bartender said, "Well, okay, what about that hook? What happened to your hand?" The pirate said, "Well, we were in another battle. I boarded a ship. I got in a sword fight, right? My hand cut off, got fitted with a hook. I'm fine, really." Bartender says, "Well, what about that eye patch?" And the pirate says, "Well, one day we were at sea and a flock of birds flew over. I looked up and one of them crapped in my eye." Bartender says, "You're kidding. You lost an eye just from bird crap?" And he goes, "It was my first day with the hook."
That's funny. No, that's funny. I got kicked out of the coffee club.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I wore a t-shirt. Coffee, tea.
Oh, got you. An old lady was standing at the railing of a cruise ship holding her hat on tight so it wouldn't blow off in the wind. A gentleman approached her and said, "Pardon me, madam. I do not intend to be forward, but did you know that your dress is blowing up in that high wind?" "Yes, I know," said the lady. "I need both hands to hold on to this hat." "Well, madam, you're not wearing anything under your dress, and your privates are exposed," said the gentleman in earnest. The woman looked down, then back up at the man and replied, "Sir, anything you see down there is 85 years old. I just bought this hat yesterday."
Two people were in the hospital after eating horse meat.
Ooh.
They are said to be in stable condition.
Little girl sitting next to her grandfather as he read her a bedtime story. Time to time, she'd take her eyes off the book and reach up and touch his wrinkled cheek. She touched her own cheek after she'd touched his, and after a little while of thinking, she said, "Grandpa, did God make you?" He looked at her and said, "Yes, sweetheart. God made me a long time ago." She paused for a few seconds and then asked, "Grandpa, did God make me too?" He replied, "Yes, indeed, pumpkin. God made you just a little while ago." Feeling their respective faces again, she whispered to him, "God's getting better at it, isn't he?"
Why did the man fall down the well?
Oh, I don't know.
Because he couldn't see that well.
Wow. What do you call Batman and Robin after they've been run over by a truck? Flatman and Ribbon.
What do you call a Mexican astronaut?
I'm sweating. I don't know.
By his name, you racist.
Do people who drive electric cars listen to AC/DC or something current?
Oh. I ate a kid's Happy Meal at McDonald's yesterday.
Yeah?
Yeah, the kid's mother wasn't very happy at all.
Oh my gosh. I ordered 12 bees, but I was given 13. I guess I got a freebie.
Oh gosh. The cashier at the grocery store asked me if I worked at Gold's Gym because I was wearing a Gold's Gym t-shirt. I said, "No, but thanks for thinking I'm fit enough to be a personal trainer." Yeah, she said they have cleaning staff, too.
Did you know that Mr. Spock actually had 3 ears? He did. The left ear, the right ear, and the final front ear.
Oh, gosh. How do you turn regular water into holy water?
You boil the hell out of it.
Yeah, shake the hell out of it.
Ah, I tried to remarry my ex-wife, but she figured out I was only after my money.
Why did the blonde snort the sweet and low?
I don't know.
She thought it was Diet Coke.
What? Oh, my gosh. I decided to make sure my wife spoke up with a big smile on her face this morning. I can't have Sharpies in the house anymore. This is so stupid. Oh, literally, I'm sweating. Woo! Friends, we love being with you. Thank you for going through the emotional roller coaster, and make sure you come on back. Hope you bring a friend next time. Peace.